Good evening. We are coming up on the anniversary of a death of a friend of mine. It's hard to believe as I was doing this that it was 10 years ago. This is the Smeltzer family. If you've never met the Smeltzer family, the only person missing here is the matriarch. I couldn't get a picture of Miss Bertina with everybody else, but this is their kids. And that is Scott Smeltzer in the back, who's a preacher, if you don't know the name. He has preached at the Church of Christ in Gettysburg for a long time, but his daughter Brianne married a preacher, and she and her husband Stephen have started a work in Harrisburg, and Scott is helping with that as well. But this is Adam. He would have been 35 yesterday. And he died in a very tragic accident. He was swimming in a river. It had been raining for a couple of days previously. He really shouldn't have been, and he got caught under a current. But this was something that when someone got a hold of Scott, his dad, and said, "What can we do? How can we help?" Then he gave a response. And in fact, the response is something, if you've never been in our house, that we actually decorate our house with, was his response. And there's a particular part of the response that I want us to look at tonight. But this is what he said. He said, "Here's what you can do, you and that sweet wife of yours. Have a baby boy. Girls are fantastic, have some of them too. But right now we're short one boy. And for all of them, expect great things of them. And don't let the world get their hearts. And love them like crazy. And train them like they're going to be workers for the King of the universe." And that's the thing that I want us to focus on tonight. Because what was pretty incredible is that even at the age of 25, Adam was really proving that his parents lived by this rule. And we'll see here at the end, there's the final remarks that we have record of they're helpful for what we're going to talk about tonight, I think. But I love this idea of being workers for the King of the universe. And it's one of those things that we might say and don't really stop and think deeply about. But what I want us to look at tonight is I want us to look at the quality of the workers that work for the King of the universe and the kind of work that they do. So that's sort of the two part of tonight as we go through here. But what does it really mean to be a worker for the King, a worker for our God? And that's what I want us to look at tonight. So I helped you out tonight. The verses that we're going to be looking at are going to be up here. So it'll be a little bit easier for you to follow along, perhaps. But first, we're going to look at some of the characteristics of workers in the kingdom. So first, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 through 38, he tells us that workers are needed. He says, "Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them, because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest.'" We can never have enough of them, especially those that are truly doing the work of God. There will always be a need for them. Right now, we're going through sort of a worker shortage. There's not a lot of jobs going around right now. I know a lot of people have been on the search for jobs for months before finding anything. And because of that, then it's sort of surprising then why we don't have, why we're not trying to create more jobs to get more people out there working. But for us, the problem is that there is plenty of work and not enough workers. We have the opposite problem. So there will always be a job for workers. The next quality of these workers is 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Paul says there, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." One thing that I really appreciate about what Paul wrote to Christians was that the work that we should do was more than just preaching. And this is something that he puts in just about all of his epistles. I would dare say all of his epistles. It's a talk about the work that we ought to do, but it's not always just about evangelism, but just that the work that we're to do is the way that we ought to live. But I like this here, steadfastness, immovability, which are really the same idea. But then he adds to it the abounding in the work of the Lord. So it's not just I do work, it's that I abound in it. I have a surplus. I have an overflowing of the work for the Lord. And then there's this, I said usefulness. I think that's what Paul is referencing here, is that when you are a worker for God, that you will not be useless. You will be useful. Know that whatever your work for the Lord is, it will not be in vain. Amen. And that's something that Paul knew very carefully as well, knew very fully. The third characteristic of workers is that the workers for God are written in the book of life. Here, Paul is talking about his fellow workers. He's urging Euodia and Syntyche here, but he says he's going to bring up some of these others here, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. When we work for the Lord, then we know that our names are written. If we just sit and laze about and not work for Him, then we're not doing what we've really been called to do. And if we're not doing what we've been called to do, have we really answered the call in the first place? We must live up to the call with which we have been called. Next is that we are Christ's workmanship. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. I like this idea here. Oftentimes we talk about, we just talked about last Sunday, about predestination and election. And one thing that we don't really think about, because the conversation surrounds people, or as we discussed last Sunday, that really what was predestined was a type of person rather than a specific list of people. But notice we don't always think about how the good works that we're supposed to do are also predestined. It says prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. But when we fulfill the good works that were created prepared beforehand for us, then we show ourselves to be Christ's workmanship. This is something that Paul brings out very specifically when he talks about being clay in the potter's hands, and that we have been fashioned and molded by Jesus Christ. But the way that we do that is through the work that we do. And what work is that? Well, we'll get to that in just a moment. The next example, characteristic of what God's workers should be is we should be hearty. Whatever you do, Colossians 3, verse 23, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Yes, the focus of what we do in this life is first to others. This is something that Jesus was very particular about. But while it is that we submit ourselves to the will and needs of others first, we do understand that first and foremost, we serve the Lord. And because of that, we work heartily. The last characteristic of workers, of God's workers, is that we are taught by the very God that we serve. And this one is, I don't want to say the most important, but I really want you to pay attention to this one. And it's been going along with what we've been talking about in Bible class. So taught by God, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, all scripture is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work, those good works that make us Christ's workmanship. But notice here, how do we work? How are we equipped for that? Well, by scripture. And this is where we've been talking about adding to our faith. And we talked about how we can have knowledge, but we also have to have self-control that goes along with our knowledge. It's one thing to be ready to go out and fight for the Lord. That was the virtue that we talked about. That's one thing. But when it's not tempered by scripture, by what it is that God wants us to know and how God wants us to live, we're going to go down every rabbit hole we can find. And we'll have no guidance. So we must know what it is that God wants us to do, how to be good workers, and what that good work is. But what about the worker's work? What is it? And there's a few things that the Bible brings up for us. The first is in Acts chapter 20. Here, Paul says, I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who are with me. In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And this is, he's on his way to Jerusalem here. And so they know that they're not going to see him again. And this is the final words that he gives them. And I find it very interesting that the last things he says to them, at least that Luke records for us, is work hard, help the weak, and remember it's more blessed to give than to receive. That's the last thing that he wants the Ephesians to know. The next is the one that we would expect of the worker's work is preaching and teaching, Ephesians chapter 4. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets, some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So here, the focus of what Paul is telling the Ephesians is that this is really for the saints, the equipping of the saints for the work of service and the building up of the body of Christ. But our evangelism does extend outward, but this is something that I've said and other people have said before me, and in fact, this was the elders of the church that my father preaches for. They're no longer there at the congregation, but the piece of advice that they gave me, their names were Martin Adams and Rick Tolbert. They said, you have to remember that before a church can grow numerically, they need to grow spiritually. And that's one thing that I've really tried to remember as I go from place to place, that sometimes we get so caught up in building up our numbers that we forget that the numbers will come if we grow ourselves. It's to the building up of the body of Christ. And that's really when we're going out and bringing other people in. It's to increase the size of the body of Christ. That's what it's for, is that there are more people that are sanctified and justified and found in that church of God. And so we have to help each other and then help others come in to what we have. And if we haven't equipped ourselves for the work of service, then it's not going to be very fulfilling for whoever comes and tries to be a part with us. But notice here that the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, that our job first is the equipping of the saints. But then he points out here, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And if you don't think that that's work, you've never read your Bible. Because that is so much hard work, coming to a unity on anything. But having that foundation of Jesus Christ already helps us a great deal in coming together in unity. Our next work that we should engage in is understanding God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." As a workman who accurately handles the word of truth, we have to understand what it is that we are working for and who we're working for. That's something that we talked about this morning. Who are we really working for? We're working for the one who sacrificed himself for us. I don't really understand that unless I understand the word of God. And it's Peter who said that there are those who are twisting the words of Paul, that they are untaught, and thus twist the words of Paul to their own ends. Instead of really understanding and having a true knowledge of what it is that God's word has to say. So it is our job to understand the word of God. Our next work that we should be involved in is the support of others, especially in works of evangelism, whether we're talking about our fellow Christians or perhaps preachers that are here in our nation or abroad. But this is something that we ought to be engaged in. And I'll give you an example of this. Jill's grandmother sends me a monthly check because she wants to support the work of Christ. This is something that can be done no matter who you are and no matter what your situation, that you can do this. And I don't just mean supporting others financially, but that's one aspect here. But John says in 3 John verse 8, "Therefore we ought to support such men," but notice why, "so that we may be fellow workers with the truth." So what I want us to understand is when I say supporting others, and I don't just mean financially, is this is what often happens to us as we think, well, since I am financially supporting, that's my duty. That's my support. That's my evangelism. That's not what John means here as your fellow workers with the truth. Well, as long as I'm supporting them and they're preaching the truth, I'm preaching the truth too. That's not what he means. But what he means is you can help share in this responsibility with support. And perhaps some of that support is financial, but really the support comes from encouragement through picking up your own slack. When we think about local work here, is that it's not just the work of Isaac at Vivian Road and Mark at Nashua and myself. We're not the evangelists in the area. There's not just the rest of our church, there are other churches that are around here that also need the support. We need to be supporting each other and going out and doing things, teaching others, picking up the holes that Isaac, Mark, and I are three people. There's a lot of people that are going to slip through the cracks with just three people. But when you break down, we have 250, 300 people between our three churches, maybe. That's a lot less people who are going to slip through the cracks if we pick up the slack and plug the holes. So let's support others as well. Next is to increase. So before I said it was to understand God's word. But here what we actually need to do is not just know God's word, but increase in our understanding and in the work that we do. Colossians 1, verses 9 through 12, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. I wanted to bold here, bearing fruit, because here's where I wanted to add. What I don't have listed here are various other groups of passages that will put a lot of work and characteristics in them. For instance, Galatians chapter 5 with the fruit of the Spirit, or Mark chapter 5 with the Beatitudes. But those would count here as part of our work, because the point here is when we live according to those standards that God has put forth, then we should be bearing fruit. And I think sometimes we forget. So I said we think about our growth in a church more numerically. If our church isn't growing numerically, we don't necessarily think of it as growth. But the funny thing is we do the reverse for ourselves. We might think about how am I trying to grow, but we don't always think about how many people am I reaching out to grow. So we sort of do the opposite. And instead of reaching out to people, then we get so deeply introspective, we forget that there are others that we need to be talking to, that there are others that we need to be teaching. And so both what comes from you is bearing fruit, but also the people that you reach out to. And if by you bearing fruit, just one other person becomes part of God's family, then that's all God can really expect of you. That's the work that you have done. That's bearing fruit. And perhaps they will bear more fruit in turn. Lastly, not only do the workers have characteristics, but also our work should have a certain characteristic in it as well. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us that our work has to survive the test of life. It says in 1 Corinthians 3 verses 12 through 14, if any man builds on the foundation, that's the foundation of Jesus Christ. He's already mentioned that earlier in verse 11. If any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will be evident. For the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. This verse here always makes me think about the three little pigs. Sometimes what preachers or even people who might be a little bit new to evangelism, what often happens is we just want to build quickly. We just want to put up the edifice. That's what people kind of get focused on. And what ends up happening is one of the first three soils in Jesus' parable of the soil. That tends to be what happens. With the three little pigs, the first two build houses out of material that they're told. When they buy the hay and they buy the sticks, they're told, this will not make a good house. And they don't listen. But instead, they just want to build their house quickly and be done. But when it's truly put to the test, it crumbles. And when we have worked according to the will of God, then it will absolutely stand the test. And what Paul is really getting to is preaching. And there's only so much that I can do in the face of someone else's free will. But if I have done my job, then the person that I have taught is far more likely to stand the test of fire. I have taken the time to help them understand what's really at stake, who's really involved, what the truth of the matter really is. And people who can take in that information and can use it for their own benefit in the Lord, then they will survive. They're the good soil in which the roots can run deep and they can stand strong. These were, I know Adam spoke to other people before his death, but just a couple of days before, I think they found him on Tuesday the 19th of November. And November 17th was a Sunday. And this was what he said in Bible class. And someone actually wrote it into social media way back when he gave it, back in 2013. He said, "When people ask me why a good God would let people suffer, I tell them that this world is a broken down and decayed house. My God takes care of us and wants us to get out of that house. We are not made for this world." And that tells me that he was a man who was working for the Lord, is to have that kind of an attitude. And you might think, what does that have anything to do with working? But we have to understand that while we work, and while we work as hard as we can, with all the characteristics and doing the things that we've talked about tonight, it's to show people that we work not for here, but for there. When we stop and remember that we are not made for this world, then to be an approved workman should not come as a great shock to us. And in fact, we should be ready for it. What we ought to do for the Lord does not come as a thief in the night. It's not something that's truly hidden from our eyes until it jumps off the page. This is something that we can know. But we have to do the work. We have to do the work to even know what the work is. And sometimes that's difficult. And sometimes we need other people to show us what the work is. And that's where we come in. We have to show other people the skills of working. There was a man who took a video of his apprentice. And his apprentice was trying to bend pipe. And he was using a special tool to bend the pipe. And as he's taking a video, he's making fun of his apprentice and doesn't even know how to do this right. And what did his parents teach him? And then he posts it on the internet. And people said, you know, instead of making fun of him for not knowing how to do it, why don't you show him how to do it? Amen. And that's what we have to be. We have to be the people that don't look at the rest of the world with derision and say, why don't you get it? We have to show them. And that means we have to be the people we're supposed to be. And it's time for us to get to work. We're nearing the end of our year. And as we come to the end of our year, we like to reflect back on what the year was like for us and what happened. And oftentimes that leads us into, when the new year starts, about what the new year, what we hope it looks like, and making resolutions. While we're sitting here and reflecting, and very soon we're going to be sitting down with our families and giving thanks to God, as we sit and think about what this world and what this year and the years past and the years to come, when we put all of this into perspective, I hope that your response to yourself is, I wish I did more for the Lord this year, and I plan to do more for the Lord next year. I plan to be a worker because I'm working to build a house. And it's a house that's not going to be done in my lifetime. I'm helping prepare myself for a place that's elsewhere. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Tonight, if you feel that you have not properly stored up your treasures, that you don't feel like this world really is your home, perhaps you need some help with being too comfortable here, being too lazy for the Lord, that there's more that I can do. Anyone who has half a brain will be able to say, I know I should do more for the Lord, but if you actually know, have some idea of what it is to do better, how about you come up here and we'll help you do something actionable? It's always easy to say, oh, I should pray better. Yeah, I should talk to people more about Jesus. I should read my Bible more. That's really easy to say, but what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Now is the time. You come up here and we'll figure out what it is that we can do to set you back on the right path so we can actually grow, increase in the work of God, and be workers unashamed. Tonight, if you need any help, please come forward while we stand and sing.